Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Many can't accept the idea of God judging unbelievers eternally in hell, especially people who've never heard the gospel. Fairness would seem to demand another solution. Today, why the justice of God requires severe punishment, and why spreading the gospel is so crucial. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the mysteries of God. Now join us for more of the justice of God.
Everybody now think and look at the big picture, okay? Here we are in the middle of the book of Revelation. You have all of those judgments that are falling upon the earth. You have hailstones, you have plagues. You've read all about them, I'm sure. And here in the middle of this, here are these saints in heaven, rejoicing, accepted by God. Doesn't that seem to be unjust? I mean, why over here so much judgment, over here so much bliss? But I submit to you today that the redemption of the saints is God's most beautiful, breathtaking example of justice. You see, here you have these plagues and all, and you're saying, wow, that's a lot of judgment on the wicked that are there on the earth. And that's true, there is a lot of judgment there. But my friend, the reason, and there are some people before the throne who committed sins just as great as the people who were on earth enduring all this affliction and punishment. Is that just? It is eminently just. I'll tell you why. You see, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, there were two attributes of God that needed to be resolved. On the one hand, you have God's love, and love wanted to redeem. Justice said, no way. Punishment must be made for the wicked. So on the cross, Jesus took the trumpet judgments, the seals with their judgments, these vials, these bowls of judgment that were heaped on the earth. They were heaped on Jesus, who paid the debt of all who would believe. So we got our punishment, thank you very much. But it didn't fall on us. It fell on him. Death and the curse were in our cup. O Christ, 'twas full for thee, but thou hast drained of the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now for me. And that's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, and I wish we had time to look at it, it says that the reason that Jesus came is to set forth the justice of God, the righteousness of God, to be a propitiation. That word occurs three times in the New Testament, if I remember correctly. And some translations say, you know, moderns don't know what propitiation is, so let's not use the word. Let's use the word atoning sacrifice. Well, I think that we have to understand what propitiation means. It really means the turning away of God's wrath by a sacrifice. And so Paul says Jesus was the atoning sacrifice. Yes, he turned away God's wrath. And then you know what Paul says? He said he did this so that he might be just and the justifier of all who believe on Jesus. Wow. In other words, when we stand before the throne because of our faith in Christ, we will stand there. Legally, we will belong there because of Jesus and because he became sin for us, the one who didn't know any sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God. Do you love a Savior like that today? We see justice in those who are redeemed. There's a third lesson that I think, a third fact that we have to grapple with, and that is that justice is not seen in this life nearly as clearly as it will be in eternity. It's in eternity. These folks are in eternity now, and they see things that we don't. You know, the Bible says this, and I quoted it also in this series in another message. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Notice that it doesn't say how difficult are his judgments and how difficult to find out. No, he says they are unfathomable beyond finding out. I took, when I was studying philosophy at the university, I took an entire course on the problem of evil. We had to read atheists. We had to read Christian responses. We had to try to see how in the world we can live with a God who is omnipotent, but at the same time is good, and the existence of suffering. And we read it all. I wrote papers about it. But I have to say that at the end of the day, there is mystery, and we cannot answer all of the questions because God's way are unfathomable. Now, one thing we have to hang on to is this. There's no way that there could be all of this suffering on earth and all the things that we have talked about unless God were to use it for a good purpose. Do we know what that good purpose is? We get glimpses, but we don't read the details. We cannot read the fine print of God's purposes. We know that eventually all of this leads to God's glory. Eventually, all things were created by him and for him. By his will, they were created. It says in the book of Isaiah that people were created in the nation for the display of his splendor. And I created Israel for my glory. Colossians says, by him were all things created, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Catch this now. All things were created for him and by him. Eventually, we will agree that the purposes of God are absolutely perfect, but I confess, we don't see it in this life. And so we believe. Well, you say, well, that's interesting. I thought you were going to answer all the questions. Could we have our money back? No, you can't. The offering baskets have already been taken and they have been put into the vault. It's too late for you to get your money back. What do you do when we are so confronted with mystery, when we are on the edge of our minds trying to understand the purposes of God? Luther talked about the hidden God. And he says, when we probe God's mysteries and we come to the end and we cannot understand beyond those mysteries, he said, we flee from the hidden God to the revealed God. Luther didn't mean that there were two different gods. What he meant was, when you are lost in the wonder of God's eternal purposes and you can't go any further and you have these doubts, what you do is you flee to Jesus, who said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And then what you discover is that the God that Jesus reveals, far from being a monster, is actually gracious and merciful, and says to those who believe on him, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and when I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself. He reveals a Father. Jesus said, when you pray, don't have all that vain repetition that the heathen do. They're chanting and whatever. He says, your heavenly Father knows in advance what you have need of. Sure doesn't sound like a monster to me. But what Jesus reveals is both the goodness of God and severity, which is a phrase from the book of Romans. God can be severe. Jesus talked about hell, but he also talked about grace and love, and both exist in the complexity of who God really is, and he is a very complex being. And so what we do when we don't know what to do, we rush to Jesus, and we find there in Jesus the hope that we seek. You have a decision to make. You have a choice. What the choice ultimately comes down to is this. Do we trust ourselves when it comes to the realm of eternity and what kind of a God exists? Or do we trust what Jesus told us and what he demonstrated? That's really the choice. So for you skeptics out there, and by the way, thank you for listening if you fit into that category. For you skeptics out there, I want you to know that it's between you and the authority of Jesus. Don't be offended, but I'm going to throw in my lot with Jesus. I hope. I hope you do too. Well, my dear friend, nothing delights us more than the knowledge that as a result of running to win, people are coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ. After all, the Bible says that he delivers us from the wrath to come. And I need to emphasize that wrath is coming. You know, here at Running to Win, we attempt to teach the whole counsel of God, including the justice of God, the judgment of God, and of course, the grace of God. We want to be balanced. And you know, if you have been blessed as a result of this ministry, I want to encourage you to help us. You could become what we call an endurance partner. An endurance partner is somebody who prays for us regularly, supports this ministry regularly, and they really become a part of the Running to Win family. Here's what you can do. You can go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com and click on the Endurance Partner button. Or you can call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. And in doing this, as you find out about how you can become a part of the family, you will be encouraged, we will be encouraged, and together we'll continue to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with many people. God is a God of justice, but thankfully we will also emphasize grace, and because of Christ, we are saved.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, with more of The Justice of God, another message on the mysteries of God. Many cannot handle the tension of a loving God who sends people to hell. Next time, how to resolve the tension by trusting Christ. The Mysteries of God can be yours on CD. All 8 messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.